Island Church in Galveston, Texas welcomes you to our podcast. We trust that you will be encouraged by today's message.
Yes, for now your journey begins. Now you're entering into those days which many have said will be dark, will be full of gloom, in which there'll be no answers. But I say unto you, no. No, I'm bringing you in onto a path. Even as if you were on a runway fixing to take off. Begin to move down that path of righteousness for your life. Reject the darkness. Reject the doom. Reject the doubt. Reject the unbelief and walk in the light and the life which I am providing for you. And you will see that this year will be a year of my glory, my blessing, and my goodness. Do not get your eyes on that which is going on this world. In this world, it will sweep you in. But stay connected to my heart and to my blessings, and you will bypass much of the drama and trauma of 2024. And this time next year, you will stand in victory and say, look what the Lord has done, as my victory shall be a procession of events in your life that will bring my glory and my ability. Hallelujah. Now lift your hands and receive that. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Thank you, Father. Now, in your walk, one with another, in the church, in the body, be careful. Beware of your adversary. He desires to divide you, to put a wedge between you. Guard your heart and guard the heart of your brother and your sister. In doing so, the spirit of unity and the bond of peace in this house will be unprecedented. Others will come to see and experience. Others have already said, but they've only seen it in a measure. This year, I will knit your heart with those around you. You will truly become my family in the earth, and I will cause my love to flow out from heaven down to the earth and amongst you like never before. So put away your differences. Forgive and forget. And walk in the light and life of forgiveness, and you will see how blessed you are to have the relationships you have. Hallelujah. Now be ready, for there are many around you that as the drama and trauma of this year moves forward, they will be in a panic. Their hearts will be full of fear. They will be intimidated in the process of being manipulated and controlled, and they will be looking for a way out. You are their escape. You have the words. You have the anointing. You have the message in you. So beware this year. The harvest is before you. Not just from this pulpit. Not just from the missionaries that go forth and those that you are connected with. But for you, your mouth. Your words, anointed by the Father, to bring in the harvest, for they will come to you in their doubt. They will come to you in their fear. They will come to you in their panic, and your words will bring comfort. Your words will bring peace, and your words will open the door for Jesus to come in. So beware, beware. Every one of your ministries go to another level in this. Deuteronomy, that's one of those books way back in the front. Anybody know what Deuteronomy means? What that word means in Hebrew? Does anybody know that? Where's my Bible school students? It means second giving of the law. The law was first given in Exodus, and then we get it again in Deuteronomy. Now, verse 18 there of chapter 11, we'll begin there this morning. Verse 18, therefore shall you lay up these my words. Now look at that again. Verse 18, Deuteronomy chapter 11. Hallelujah. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. Now they actually did that. They actually wrote scripture on their hand and put a little box they'd wear around their head with scripture in it. I mean, they took it literally, amen? And you shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. You know what he's saying? He's saying, you need to be talking about, rehearsing, and thinking about the word all the time. Amen? Rehearsing it to your children, all of that. Now notice, and thou shalt write them upon the doorpost of thine house, and upon thy gates. Now notice this, that your days may be multiplied. Anybody like long life? There's your promise right there. The word of God promises you long life. That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as, now notice this, as the days of heaven upon the earth. Amen. So I'm just going to declare it's going to be us this year. You say, what's it going to be like at Island Church this year? It's going to be as the days of heaven upon the earth. Amen. Now let's listen to this. This is so cool because if you'll think about this, this is God in a lesser covenant making a promise to his people that if you'll obey me, follow my word, it's going to lead you to a physical place. In that physical place, it's going to be the best place in the world. It's the land of milk and honey. You're going to be able to raise your children, grow your crops, raise your animals, and have life as my servants, as Israel being my servants upon the earth. That's how God saw Israel, as his servants. Amen? Now, with his hand upon them, they prospered. I mean, when his hand was upon them, they were blessed. David's and Solomon's reign, I mean, they were literally the most powerful nation upon the earth. Nobody could defeat them, and nobody was stronger than them financially. A little old bitty slip of land, I mean, hardly as big as from here up to League City, over to Alvin, and back around here again, about that big. You realize that's about how big Israel is. You can drive from the north end to the south end in an hour and 15 minutes, from the east to the west in about 35 minutes. Very small piece of land. But God used it to show the world that he's God, amen? But now, listen, we've got a better covenant based on better promises. Come on, church. We've got a better covenant based on better promises, and I can't say that my entire life has been days of heaven upon the earth, but I'm going to tell you, I've lived some days that have been like days of heaven upon the earth. And I believe the will of God for us here at Island Church is to move forward in the things of God, move forward in the anointing, move forward in revelation knowledge. Thank God for our heritage. Thank God for all the great moves of God we've come out of, but we're going to press into what God wants for us here and now. Now, go to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. Look there in verse 7. It says, let the wicked forsake his way. Well, that's a good word, amen? If you're doing any kind of wickedness, get rid of it. And the unrighteous man, now notice this, his thoughts. Now let me say this, because we've taught so much on the renewing of the mind. And your ability to do that is enhanced in so many ways. If you will just make the effort to renew your mind, God is helping you. He's given you the Holy Ghost as a teacher. Amen? He's given you the Word of God. How many translations do we have of the Bible? How many paraphrases do we have of the Bible? How many commentaries is there on the Bible? How many study books can you find on the Bible? Amen? I mean, it's just, you can build a bookstore on it. Big as Walmart. You say, why? There's an enormous amount of information out there that empowers you to receive from God so that your life can be enhanced, but you've got to forsake wickedness. And you've got to forsake it where? On the thought level. It's amazing how the enemy, now let me just say this. Have you ever had a thought that the enemy was probing your mind with? You knew it was the enemy. He just was very persistent. He was just kept at it. Do you know his intention? He's trying to get you to say it. Every thought he puts in your mind, he knows that he is not a creator, but you are. Everybody say, I'm a creator. Say, I'm a creator. You are a creator. Your words will create your life, your lifestyle. Your words will create the atmosphere of God around you or the lack of atmosphere of God around you. Jesus said, by your words you're condemned, or by your words you're justified. Now, the words that you speak are directly connected to the thoughts that you think. So if you're going to change your words, you better start working on your thoughts. But if you're going to change your thoughts, you're going to have to change your words and start speaking to your mind. You're going to have to tell your mind, you can't think like that. I mean, I've come at the devil so many ways in my mind. I've said things to him like this: I don't think like that no more. So don't bring that to me again, in Jesus' name. I mean, you just got to get just frank with the devil, as if he was standing in front of you, poking at your brain. And say, no, devil, I'm not thinking thoughts of fear. I'm not thinking thoughts of doubt and unbelief. I'm not thinking thoughts of prejudice. I'm not thinking thoughts of hate. I'm not thinking, you just begin to name them and begin to say, I'm not thinking that way anymore. Because if he can get you to think that way, he can get you to talk that way. And if he can get you to talk that way, you're going to create it. You'll create the fear. You'll create the hate. You'll create the pain by your own words. Because by your words, you're just, thank God he gave us a whole new bunch of words to speak. You've got to learn redemptive language, amen? It says, let him return to the Lord. Now notice this, and he will have mercy upon him. Now listen to this. He says, if you'll recognize you're in a problem, he'll have mercy on you. Mercy on you. You know what that means? That means he's going to stop from happening to you what you have initiated. What you've initiated through evil thoughts, and through evil acts, God says, just turn from it. Repent. Turn from it. Walk in another direction, and I'm going to give you new words, new thoughts, and with that you're going to overcome. Amen? Now notice, he will have mercy. He will stop from happening to you. And to God, for he will abundantly pardon you. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. This is God speaking. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. For as the heavens are higher, everybody say higher. Higher than the earth, so are my ways, higher than your ways, my thoughts than your thoughts. Now notice this, verse 10. For as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth. Everybody say, watereth the earth. And maketh it bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. Okay, he is speaking of an agricultural process that he initiated back in creation. After the flood, remember, after the fall, the earth was cursed. And from the time of the fall to the flood, there was a curse on the earth. That means, buddy, it was hard to get anything to come out of that ground. I mean, they'd grow an apple tree or something, it'd just be some little mutant of a tree. But when God judged the earth and destroyed its population and left a righteous seed, he took the curse off of the earth. Isn't that good news? So, he's speaking of God's hand being upon what? Seed time and harvest. He says, so shall my word be. Go forth out of my mouth. Shall not return void. But it shall accomplish that which to us is. Look what he said back up here. For as the rain cometh down, the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it bring forth. So you need the seed. Everybody say the seed. The seed of the word. Then you need the water of the word. If you've got a seed of healing you're working on in you, and I come in and I'm teaching on divine healing, which I do every month at a communion time, communion service, then all you need is a little more information, and that information enhances your faith. A man that I knew that was really believing God for a real miracle, and he got it. He got the miracle that he was believing God for. But at a point in his life, and he was paralyzed, he was just in all kinds of trouble, but he said at a point in his life in which he was believing God for healing. And he believed God, he was healed, yet his body was still paralyzed and in the bed. He said this to Jesus. He said this to God. He said, I said, God, if you were to come down here and appear to me in bodily form, I would say to you that as far as I'm concerned, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. But my body's telling me, what is wrong with me? The Lord spoke to him and said, you believe what you know, but you don't know enough yet, but you almost do. So that gave him the incentive to continue to press in, till the Word of God and the Spirit of God came together in him, and he made the decision to obey it, and God delivered him out of a horrible, horrible disease, and he was totally healed. Isn't that cool? so shall my word be. It goeth forth out of, that was a 17 month. He is speaking of a life process of the word of God, your whole life, coming down into your life in seed form and then being continually watered. Continually watered. Most of what I do here, unless it's this is new to you, I'm really not planting seeds in you. I'm watering what you already know. I'm putting good rainwater. Good. Have you ever noticed the difference between rainwater and tap water? If you're a plant person, Lee and I are plant people. I guess you can tell by the church, but you can tell the difference between watering with tap water and rainwater. There's just something about rainwater. I asked a guy one time who knows much more about agriculture than I do. I said, how come rainwater does so much better on plants than tap water? He says, because man messes with the tap water and takes the pH to another level when God knows just what perfect pH is. I said, God's smarter than us. Amen. Now notice, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish, everybody say accomplish, that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I sent it. So God is telling us, here's how I operate my word. I send my word from heaven, then I water it, and I water it, and I water it, and it produces the plant, the bud, and the fruit, which produces what? More seed. So he's giving us, literally, a lifestyle directive here. Now, last scripture. Oh, I'm doing good. Last scripture. Go to the book of John, the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John. Let's get over there. Chapter 3. Now notice this. John chapter 3, this is an interesting chapter in the Bible. It says there was a man. Now here we go, everybody, this is a football. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, obviously, Nicodemus, he was having a perception problem. He was looking at Jesus. Jesus was doing these miracles, and these miracles were very impressive upon Nicodemus, upon his soul, upon his life. He was very, how can I say this? Enamored by that. And he says, you know, we know that no man can do this, can do these miracles unless God's with it. But see, Jesus knew that there was a greater revelation. So he really didn't answer the question or respond to it the way it was asked. He went to something that would draw Nicodemus closer or into him. He said, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. Now that term had never been used before in the Bible. You will not find this term, born again. Born again. Everybody say born again. Now listen, man didn't come up with this. This is Jesus' catchphrase. He's using this to describe the end result of what's going to be produced by his death, burial, and resurrection. It's not even been provided yet, but he's putting a demand upon Nicodemus, unless you get born again, all of this stuff, forget it. The rabbis don't know it. The priests don't know it. None of the other people that have departed from the old, none of them know it. They're all just going through the ritual of religion. But if you get born again, if you get born again, if you get born again, it's not going to open your eyes to religion. It's going to open your eyes to God, to Jesus. You're going to see the spirit realm for what it really is. So he gives us the initial reality of what we must do to leave the human family and to come into God's family. What must we do? We must be born again. Not re-educated, not mind renewed, not filled with the Holy Ghost, not tithing, none of that. Listen, you talk to people about that stuff that are not born again, they're going to look at you like you're a nut. They have no clue whatsoever. They have no understanding. Let me tell you, the greatest the human family can come up with is a curiosity-based hunger. And usually that happens because they're around people like you. Because they're going through the same thing you're going through, but they see you go through it with peace. They see you go through it with joy. They see you go through it with faith. They see you go through it, well, you know, without dragging around, you know, and moping. They see you go through things differently. Amen. That reveals the glory of God. They see a different answer and a different outcome in your life because you trusted God. So Jesus is saying, guys, you ain't got a clue. You're going to have to be born again. Nicodemus said unto him, verse 4, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? He wasn't making a joke. He was not making a joke. He was being very serious. Born again? How would a man enter his mother's womb and be born? See, he had the concept, he had the precept, right? But the application was beyond him because the application is spiritual, not natural. Not talking about natural reproduction, not talking about spiritual reproduction. Amen? So now notice what Jesus, how he responds. Jesus answered and said, verily, verily, that's truly, truly, or it is a truth. I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Now notice this. Be born of water, small w, and of the Spirit, big S. Small. So religion has taken this one scripture and made and taken and put water baptism over salvation. But this scripture has, water baptism is not in this scripture. First requirement to be born again. First requirement. Ready? You must be born of water. Well, should I get baptized? No. If you're here, you've been born of water. I said, if you're here, you've been born of water. So that's your first requirement. You've got to be born into the human. You say, well, come on, Pastor, that's kind of... No. God had to make sure there was perimeters. Demons couldn't get into it. Other entities couldn't get into that. That long church, this was only for us. For God so loved the world. That's us. He didn't want the other worlds, the nether worlds, the demonic worlds. He didn't want all these other worlds. No, he wanted the world that was his family. That's what he focused on. That's what he wanted to redeem. And he sent Jesus to redeem us. And he said, it's going to begin with something called being born again. And being born again requires two things. Number one, you're going to have to be born. You're going to have to be born. And once you're born of flesh, of water, then you can be born of the Spirit. Now, walking this out, of course, we have the complete revelation that God has given us in His Word. We know that salvation is relevant to men and women as they grow. Children, babies, infants, when they are born, are not judged righteous or unrighteous. They are innocent. But as they grow, as their soul grows, their mind grows, their intellect grows, their flesh grows, especially all of those three things. Remember that. You are spirit. Everybody say, I'm a spirit. You possess a soul. Say, I possess a soul. And I live in a body. That's your earth suit. Amen. It wears out. But now, knowing that and understanding that, we must understand God goes after you. He goes after your spirit. That's the real you. You're not a body. You're not a mind. You're not an emotion. You're not choices just going around, you know, happen stamping. How do you say it? I'm not even going to try that. Too early in the morning. Amen. But in reality, you've got to realize, born into the human family, as you grow up into the human family, you grow up into its curse. My parents didn't have to teach me how to lie. It was natural. Didn't have to teach me how to be mean, how to be stingy, how to be this or that. It's natural to every one of us. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, we were by nature children of wrath, even as others. You didn't have to teach your children to cuss, to smoke, to do anything. No, all they got to do is yield to their flesh. It's an automatic response. Children, they'd rather lie than tell the truth. Why? It's in them. It doesn't grow out either. They'd rather cheat than do something fair. It's in them. Now, don't get me wrong. There's something that can override that. You say, what is that? The human will. There are people that are just good people that raise their children to be good people. But remember, God didn't send Jesus to make bad people good. He sent him to make dead people alive. And if you're born into the human family, honey, you are born dead. You live out those years, an infant or a toddler dies, where does he go? Straight to heaven. Back to the Father. But once sin revives, Paul said it like this, I was alive unto God. Then sin revived and I died. What was he talking about? He said, I was alive unto God. Then these acts of sin begin to happen in my life and I was separated from God. I died. I became spiritually dead. That is the dilemma of every man and woman on the earth that does not know Jesus Christ. They are spiritually dead. They are spiritually separated from God. But the moment, and thank God Jesus made it so easy. Whosoever shall what? Call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe you'll find people in heaven that on their last breath, they screamed, Jesus! They say, well, I don't believe that. Take it up with a thief on the cross. Two men on a cross, three men on a cross, the one in the middle is the Redeemer. What a picture of man. What a picture of man. One side mocking, that's religion, everything else that mocks God. The other side, man, I tell you what, I ain't got no hope but you, Lord. And what'd the Lord say? It's okay. I say to you this day, you will be with me in paradise. Amen? And that's exactly what happened. So thank God. You must, everybody say, you must. Be born again. Now, let's close this up. My time is up. Praise the Lord. Are you getting anything? Now, notice, you must be born again. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water, be born into the human family, and of the Spirit, of the Holy Ghost, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not see or tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Now, he's using the wind as an illustration because in that day, they don't have the meteorological technology that we have. So the origins of wind were unknown to them. And wind is unseen. You don't see the wind, you see its effect. You feel its effect. You know, there's wind in here, but it's not blowing 20 miles an hour. But that doesn't mean there's not wind. Amen? So he's using that as an illustration of a wind on the inside of you, and what's happening on the outside of you is a result of what's blowing on the inside of you. So if the Word of God and the Spirit of God is blowing in you, it's going to bend you one way. It'll bend you toward blessing. It'll bend you toward goodness. It'll bend you toward favor, toward healing, toward everything that's in the kingdom of God. But now, you let other winds blow in your life, and they're going to bend you the other way. Now, I've grew up on the Texas coast and fished all the bays, hunted all the bays up and down. One of my favorite areas is around the Rockport, Aransas Pass, Port Aransas area, and those mesquite trees that blow in that, now it's a predominantly south wind, come off the Sonora, and all of them bend this way. Just the opposite direction of which the wind blows. You can't see the wind doing it, but you see the results of it. The day you got born again, the wind started blowing in your life. And what happened? Your tree started growing. And your tree started growing and your tree started bending. And as your tree grows and bends toward God, what does God do? He sends the rain. He rains on your tree. That's the Word. That's where fellowship becomes so important, is because you get the Word so many ways. You're encouraged to read your Bible. You're encouraged to study your Bible. You're encouraged to come to church, and we're going to do some awesome things this year. We're going to have our School of the Spirit. We're going to have some other things that we're going to do, some awesome conferences and things like that, in which it's going to not just rain, it's going to pour. Amen? Now, anything we can get going in the Spirit that can cause rain, amen, it can bring a flood. I said, we get it raining hard enough, it'll flood. And that's what we want. We want a flood of righteousness. We want a flood of God's glory. We want a flood of His goodness. We want a flood of financial blessing. All of these things that we're believing God for, God is more than willing, more than able to do it. He's just positioning us in faith for it to happen. Because it does not just happen corporately, it happens for all the individuals, then it comes corporately. Let me close with this. First of all, you must be born again. Or you don't even understand the kingdom of God. You have no understanding of it. God is so good in providing for us that which is necessary, not just to be delivered and forgiven from sin, but for our life to be touched by God to the point that people can see it. That every time someone looks at your life, they have to think about God. Now let me say that again. I have people in my life, when I look at them, I think about other things. Some people I look at, I think about hunting or fishing, surfing, different things, hobbies I do. But when I look at some of you, I think about God. Because I see God working in your life. I see God doing things in your life. So all of a sudden, that stimulates my thinking toward God because of you. Wow, look how so-and-so's got. Somebody came up here and gave me an awesome testimony the other day up in the prayer line. I was like, oh, glory to God. I could see God had done something great for them. Every testimony that's told me, it marvels. I'm just marveled at what God can do and what God is doing. So let me just say this to you, and please don't get angry, get mad. Use it as something that may wake you up to bring you into something greater. Amen. It is the will of God. It is the will of God that your life in these very last days of 2024 be as days of heaven upon the earth. You say, now how can that be when the world just seems like it's going to hell on a skateboard and there's wars and rumors of wars and pandemics and epidemics and political turmoil and nations rising against nations, and as the Bible says, ethnic groups rising against ethnic groups. How can this be? It's because in the middle of the greatest turmoil, God is going to manifest His greatest provision. When the economy is down on the rock bottom, there's going to be blessing in the church. When there's every kind of disease in the world that they don't know what to do with, there's going to be healing in the church. When people are so depressed they don't know what to do, there's not enough medication, there's not enough weed, there's not enough anything, they're going to have to come to the house of God and find out where real peace is and real joy is. If the world comes into the church and the church is beat up as the world, they're going to find somewhere else. But thank God we're not going to be beat up as the world. You begin. This is a football. You begin. This is a football. You begin. This is a football. You begin by getting born again. Then you go on a quest to find out, what does this mean? Because the more you dig into it, the bigger it gets. This is oyster season. We don't eat near as many oysters as we used to. But I found this out eating oysters years ago. It's not a chewable commodity. If you don't believe it, go to Guido's and order a dozen and make a decision to chew every one 10 times. And you will find out every time you chew an oyster, it gets bigger in your mouth. Well, you're going to have, it's going to have to, that's the Word of God. It's the same way. You're going to have to get the Word of God in your mouth and start chewing on it. And the more you chew on it, the bigger it gets. And when you speak it, it wasn't what you first put in there. There's a whole lot more volume to that. Amen? The greatest life enhancement on planet Earth is the kingdom of God. And the Bible says, unless you're born again, you know nothing about it. You know nothing about how it operates, how it works, how it functions in your life. And you have no idea how much it can enhance your life. If Lee and I were to put our life on a scale, it certainly wouldn't be a straight line from the bottom to the top. Amen? Because we have, let me just say it like this. We haven't enjoyed a life without stress, pain, trouble, trials, or tribulation. But we've experienced a good life. We have lived an awesome life. There's no way we could have done it without God. There's no way it would have happened without Jesus. But we made a decision. We're going to find out what this born-again stuff is all about. We're going to discover the depths of it. the length of it, the breadth of it, the height of it, because it's all built out of the love of God for you. For God, the greatest being, so loved, that's the greatest force. The world, the greatest amount, that He gave, the greatest action. His only begotten Son, the greatest gift. That whosoever, the greatest amount, should call upon Him, the greatest simplicity, should not perish, but have everlasting life, the greatest life. That's how good God is. He doesn't want to just save you so He can get you out of human family and get you to heaven. He wants to save you and give you some days of heaven upon the earth so that people could see those are God's people. That's who He has His hand on. Amen. Lift your hands up and worship Him. Father, we worship You this morning. We love You so much, Lord. You've spoken to us this morning by Your word. You've spoken unto us by Your Spirit. And we are so grateful. We are so thankful. And we never take it for granted, Holy Spirit of God, that You move in this house. So right now, as we close our service, bring men and women to a place of decision. Thank You, Spirit of God, that You move in our hearts and that You bring that gentle conviction where it's needed so that we might get right and stay right with You. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Ask you this question. Are you right with God this morning? Or are you a person that has never been born again? Maybe you didn't understand you need to be, that God sent His Son Jesus so you could be. But He loves you. He drew you to this house this morning so that you wouldn't die and go to a sinner's hell, but that you would be redeemed and have a few days of heaven upon the earth before you have eternity in heaven. Or you may be an individual that you have been saved, but you're like the young man in Luke 15, a prodigal, left the father's house, got involved in some other things. You need to return home. The Father waits for you right now. He longs for you. He's drawing you. That's why you're in this service this morning. He's drawing your heart. So with nobody looking around, if you've never been born again or if you've been born again, need to get right with God, I want to pray with you. Would you lift your hand up right now so I can see it? One hand, God bless you. Two hands, three hands, God bless you. Anyone else? Four hands, five hands, God bless you. Anyone else? You can put it down once you've raised it. Five have raised their hand. Anyone else that would say, that's me, Pastor, please pray with me. I don't want to start 2024 not knowing I'm right with God. I want to get right. I want to stay right. Anyone else? Quickly. Another hand. God bless you. That's six. Anyone else? Look one more time. Praise God. Amen. Everybody stand if you will. Praise the Lord. You that raised your hands, we're going to pray out loud. The church is going to help you. I want you to pray so that your own ears hear what your mouth is saying. Amen? Can I get a better amen? Amen. That means you're going to pray out loud. And when you do that, when we say amen, I want you to settle it. You're right with God. That the words that came out of your mouth and the belief that came out of your heart was sufficient to receive the mercy and the grace that you need to move forward in God. Are you with me? Amen? Now, you that pray that prayer, if you've not done this, maybe this is, you know, sometimes people takes them a couple of weeks, 3 or 4 weeks, whatever, to get, you know, get in the place where they know they're right with God all the time. But this is if you've never done it before, when you leave and you've not gotten our three books, you that raise your hand, please go get our three books that will help you live this life. Amen. And then the next thing, come back to church. Let us teach you the Word of God. Church, you ready to pray? Everyone that raised your hand, here we go. Heavenly Father, right now, openly and publicly, I confess Jesus Christ is my Lord and my Savior. I recognize and realize that You, God, sent Your Son Jesus to this earth, born of a virgin, lived a sinless life, did signs, wonders, and miracles, died on a cross, rose from the dead, did it all for me. Today, I believe it. I receive it. It's mine. I'm born again. Born of the Spirit. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Areas of my life that do not please You. Forgive me, Lord. Today, I appropriate the blood of Jesus that cleanses me from all sin, and all unrighteousness. As I stand, Island Church, on January the 7th, 2024, I'm right with God. I'll never be the same. Devil, get out of my life. I don't belong to you. Jesus, I am yours and yours alone. I will serve you all the days of my life, here on the earth and throughout eternity. I've gotten right. I'm going to stay right in Jesus' name. Now give them an encouraging hand clap, church. Come on. Don't patty cake. Come on, give them a big hand clap. That's awesome. What a great way to start the new year. Don't forget all the activities we have during the week. Church on Wednesday night, we have prayer at 6:30, church at 7:30. We've also got prayer on Wednesday night, revive on Friday night. Lots of good stuff going on. Lots of good stuff coming up. Father, thank you for today. We bless all these men and women that raised their hands, that there would be a special anointing released on their behalf to help them in this walk and to help them in their new birth. Thank you, Lord God, for your life and power in us. As is our tradition, we declare protection, safety, and blessing over our travels on the highways, airways, seaways, railways, any other way of travel or transportation, and in the righteous labor of our hands, all of our businesses, all of our men and women that work in the workforce. We declare no accidents, no trauma of any kind. We declare blessing and favor and promotion upon them in Jesus' name. Lord, as we leave today, stir our hearts. So many around us are lost, undone, without God. Lord, let us be an answer to their prayer. Let us be a miracle in their life. Let us be a problem to the devil as we step forward, as we make ourselves available to be laborers in the harvest. Thank you, Father, for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, and your compassion toward us. Thank you, Jesus, for being our Lord, our Savior, our soon coming King, our healer, our all in all. Thank you, Spirit of God, that you abide and empower and guide us into the righteousness of God. Thank you, Lord, as we leave today, we walk in love and faith toward you. We walk in love toward one another. We leave as the ambassadors of Christ. You called us to be. Thanking you, Lord, here at Island Church. We're covered by the blood, empowered by the word, anointed by the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for listening to Island Church's podcast. To find out more information about Island Church in Galveston, Texas, visit our website at islandchurchgalveston.com.